Ahead, this afternoon's conference call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. Maria, would you like to begin with a roll call?
I will indeed. Actually, I'm going to. Is Natalie going to do the roll call for us today, or do I do that?
Hello, this is Julia from staff on the call. I can do a roll call for you if you wish.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome on the Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues Working Group call on Tuesday, 10th December 2013 at 15 UTC. On the call today, we have James Slidell, Don Blumenthal, Gordon Dick, Graeme Bunton, Hector Haryo-Manos, Holly Raich, Carlton Samuels, Stéphanie Perrin, Luke Surfer, Griffin Barnett, Maria Zuckig, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Steve Metalitz, Mikhail Nealon, Nick Steinbeck, Roy Balliste, Staton Hammock, Todd Williams. We have apologies from Susan Prosser, Wendy Seltzer, Jeff Heckhaus, and Chris Spelling. And from staff, we have Marika Konings, Mary Wong, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Julia. Okay, this is Maria Farrell, and I'm the interim chair of this group. So we have a good agenda today. I think this is the day when we finally get down to some business on this working group. So I'm just going to take you briefly through the agenda first, and then we can get on to the business of selecting a chair to take this working group forward. First off, so I'm just going to review the names of some documents which the staff kindly sent to us since last week's call. Those were the definitions document of definitions of who is that had been prepared by the Who Is drafting team in early 2009, which you'll have received. Also the staff report on Who Is relay and reveal studies from 2011. And then finally, and what I hope will be the meat for discussion of this call, is the draft mind map of topics in the charter, which Marika has very kindly put together. And so all of those have arrived in our inboxes over the last week. I hope everybody's had a chance to take a look at them, and especially to give some thought to the mind map and how we might think of arranging the work of this working group. Okay, item the second. I personally wish to formally withdraw my acceptance of the nomination for chair, which was very kindly made by Tim Ruiz, amongst others, of the Registrars Group and the Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group. I think it would be awkward for me to chair a discussion of who should be the chair if I were a candidate. So I want to thank the people who did nominate me. And happily revert to my original position, which is of hopefully setting things up so the chair proper can take things over and drive forward. Has anybody got any questions about the agenda before we move on to the selection of the chair? No. Okay. Before we go on, I just want to say one. So I think part of the there are two very important things. One is regarding the mind map. I hope you've taken a look at it because what we'd like to come out of this call with, I think, the proper chair notwithstanding, is using the mind map to think about how this working group is going to plan its work. So thinking about the sequencing of issues, what the dependencies might be. Even seeing where there are areas of agreement or likely agreement and then areas of difference. So that's going to be a really important one. And the second extremely important thing is that today is Marika's birthday. So she's very kindly taken time out from a busy celebration to come and be on this call. So thank you, Marika, and happy birthday.
Thank you, Maria.
You're welcome. Okay, so let's get on to chair selection. We have now got three nominations received and accepted, and those are from Steve Metalitz of the Intellectual Property Constituency, Don Blumenthal of the Registry Constituency, and Graeme Bunton of the Registrar Constituency. I suppose before we get into any general discussion of chairmanship, I think it would be a good moment to put those three people on the spot and ask them to give us a little just a little introduction to themselves and perhaps how they might see their vision for this group or why we might wish to appoint them as a chair. Who would like to go first? Let's take it alphabetically. Don Blumenthal, would you mind just giving us a few words? I know you've been nominated so almost ahead of your will, but perhaps you might just give us an idea of how you would see this group going forward.
Thanks, Maria. Well, he's cursed by having that low letter in the alphabet. I'm not sure I was drafted against my will. It was more a progression of some things that went on. I didn't get a chance to introduce myself last week because I was delayed, but I'm with the Public Interest Registry. I do policy work primarily in security, privacy, and the DNS abuse law enforcement issues. I've been at the Who in the Who Is space, believe it or not, since 1998, with a policy paper concerning accuracy of Who Is data. Kind of unfortunate to see how far we haven't come in 15 years. I've been involved directly in Who Is projects since I joined PIR a few years ago, 3 years ago to be specific. And I just have gradually dived in more and more deeply. Was chair of the sub-team of the Seek Who Is project. I think there are a lot of similar issues that we're going to face in privacy proxy, but also a lot of other very interesting ones. And it just would like to be involved in them. I think my biggest strength is... Well, back in the restaurant business, I was known as an expediter, which kind of meant just jumping in and managing and trying to keep things going through team efforts. And that pretty well sums it up, just on my interest and how I would see this going forward.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Don. Next up, Graham Bunton. Could you just give us a few words about yourself, please?
Sure. Hey, all. So I got my start in the internet about 10 years ago working for a research lab at the University of Toronto called the Citizen Lab, which specializes in internet censorship and surveillance research. And that's where I actually ended up meeting Elliot Noss, the CEO of 2Cows. I've been working now for 2Cows just shy of 3 years. Now, most of my job is not policy. Most of what I do is running our business intelligence here, and that tends to be the perspective that I bring to most projects, which is what I like to look at the data. I like to look at and analyze what's actually going on, and that tends to be the sort of rigorous analytical approach I bring to things. But then I also get to scratch that policy itch. So I have not been doing ICANN things for a particularly long period of time, especially compared to many here. So I'm a relative neophyte to Whois issues, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. It certainly sounds like a very contentious issue, and people have been working on this for an awful long time. It's been very difficult to get it right. I'd like to think that I bring a sort of new and more open perspective to how we might approach this. There we go.
Thank you very much, Graham. And Steve Mentalitz, would you mind just introducing yourself to those who don't know you and your vision for the working group?
Hello?
Hi, Steve. Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm having a little trouble managing my mute button. Well, I've been involved with the Who Is issue almost as long as Don, I guess. Certainly as long as I've been involved in ICANN. I'm a lawyer, and I represent a coalition of groups that of companies and associations and membership organizations that have a strong interest in copyright protection. And I've been active in the intellectual property constituency since it was started. Currently serving as vice president of that constituency. So I've been engaged in ICANN and the policy development process, and particularly with regard to WHOIS, for quite some time. I think that we're at an important juncture here with the changes that have already been made on WHOIS in the registrar accreditation agreement, and the clear direction from the leadership of ICANN to work toward to address the situation with privacy and proxy domain name registration. So I think we have an important job to do. And as I mentioned in my posting when I nominated Don for the chairmanship of this group, we have some divergent interests here. There also are some overlaps in the interests that are represented here, and our challenge really is to work together to prepare as quickly as we can a consensus document, or one that has as much support as possible, to set out what the standards ought to be for privacy and proxy service accreditation. So I think that's a challenge, but one that we've got some experienced people on this group, as well as Graham said, people with a more fresh perspective, and I hope that we can all work together to achieve that. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. That's terrific. Okay, so I'm going to throw it open to the working group as a whole. I'm sure there are people who've got questions. It might be an idea to let's take a cue, and people can ask questions either of individual candidates or of all three nominees as a whole. James Bladel, I've got you with your hand up, so please go ahead.
Thanks. Maria, appreciate everyone weighing in on that. James Bladel for the transcript. So just a thought here, and it seems like there was significant support, or at least I didn't hear too much objection to Steve's idea that was posted to the list. But having participated in a number of these working groups and chaired more than a few, I know that there's just an incredible amount of work that's involved. It's not necessarily bringing the right experience or background to these leadership positions. It's also just managing the workload. So one thought might be to, if we could consider the idea of a chair, for example, I know Don's name has been thrown out as a candidate for that position, but then one or more vice chairs or co-chairs or whatever we're going to call those other roles, and then indicate that some of those other folks might be balanced across the different interests or different stakeholder sections of the community. And I was wondering if the folks who are currently nominated and seconded for chair would be interested in serving as a vice chair if that were an acceptable structure.
Thanks, James. Let's put that question to the nominees. Don, maybe let's go in the same order again. Don, Graham, and then Steve, please.
Yeah, James. I think you're absolutely right on this project, and it's not necessarily an issue of, say, balancing interests. I think it's just which has been suggested. That's why I'm saying that. I think it's just more an issue of the number of issues we've got to cover and the time, whatever that turns out to be, that we have to do it. This is one of the biggest lists of important issues that I've worked on in a working group. I don't know if the best solution is a former co-chair set up, or a chair with the advisory committee, or if we go with sub-teams, just a built-in advisory committee that way. But the chair is going to need help, there's no question. And I do think that a co-chair setup could work, but there's other ways to go about it.
Okay. Thanks, Don. Graham, please.
I think that's a delightful suggestion from James, and would be happy to withdraw my chair nomination, or however that would work, to if we have some sort of vice or co or other leadership process.
Okay, thank you, Graham. Steve, please.
Yes, this is Steve. I agree with Don. This is a big job, and I'm ready, willing, and able to support him as chair in whatever way makes the most sense. I tend to think that having formal vice chairs or co-chairs may not be necessary and may be somewhat unwieldy if it makes it less efficient for ministerial decisions to get made. And perhaps, you know, since I think the idea of an advisory committee or something like that may make sense. And I think it seems to me that we almost certainly will have subgroups here, because there are so many issues, and there's probably a good way to divide them up, although I don't have a specific proposal to make on that. So that might be another way to share the obviously, that if we have subteams, we're going to need good leaders for each of the subteams, with under Don's overall leadership. So I'm certainly prepared to withdraw or to decline the nomination for chair if Don's able to take that on, and I'm prepared to help him and support him in whatever way he thinks is most or the group thinks is most useful in order to advance our work.
Okay, thanks, Steve. So I'm going to summarize where we are and invite anyone else to make a comment or ask a question. So James Ladle suggests use of co-chairs. Don, I sense from you a preference against co-chairs, but maybe an advisory committee to the chair. Graham likes the co-chair committee, the co-chair idea, and is willing to withdraw his acceptance of nomination as a chair to then be considered as a co-chair. And then Steve, not so keen on co-chairs, but again, in favor of an advisory committee, are indeed sub-teams, which may be created from the work plan, and also willing to withdraw from his nomination as chair. That's kind of where we are. I think it's not something that we just want the nominees to have a view on. I think it would be fair to hear from other people on the call, other people in the working group, if they have a particular preference or if they think what they think would be best to work. Because we've got one of those SAT or GRE questions here. Don would prefer against co-chairs but might take an advisory committee. Graham will prefers co-chairs, declines as a chair, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got a few different pieces to stick together. Let's take some input on what people think would be the best or another possible approach. Don, you've got your hand up. Would you like to speak against?
Yeah, I just noted Tim's note in the chat section. It's not so much that I'm against co-chairs as such. I think that can work, but I think as Steve suggested, in an administrative sense, I think it's good to have somebody who's kind of playing the point on just keeping everything heading in the right direction, dealing with GNSO, whatever else needs to be done, again, more in an administrative sense rather than a substantive sense.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Don. So I think we're sort of trying to achieve two different things here. One is to ensure that we've got a person or persons to take on the administrative and managerial role of leadership. And the other is trying to achieve some putative form of balance between different groups. I'm inclined personally to view the chairmanship as a managerial job, so I'm going to make this suggestion. What if, Don may well need somebody to step in as chair if he's not able to chair a particular group meeting, for example, when he's traveling, and that. Graham, would you be willing to be a person who was the alternate chair for when meetings and such are difficult for Don to chair?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do we have any objections to that idea? Somebody's taking. Is that Amr? Have you put up your hand? No. Okay.
Could you excuse me? This is Steve. Could you repeat what the proposal is, Maria?
The proposal is that we have a chair which would be Don, and that we look at an alternate chair for occasions when Don is not able to chair Cole, for example, if he is traveling or has other commitments.
This is Steve again. I can support that, and I'm glad to fill in for Don if that's needed.
Terrific. Okay. So really we're looking at possibly appointing a chair and two alternates. That has the advantage of giving us a little more support across different groups, and also having a backstop for Don when he, you know, if yeah, I'm not envisioning lots of absences, Don, but just thinking managerially that might be a good thing. As indeed, Don, when he may be on a plane this time next week, yes. So the idea would be alternate chairs. That's correct, answering to Carlton on the list. A chair and two alternates. Ideas on that? Objections or better suggestions? Okay, I'm not seeing anybody put their hands up on that, but I do want to give people a chance to think about that and think through the implications rather than spring it on people too quickly. Okay, so James Bladel is withdrawing his suggestion for vice chairs and supporting the idea of alternate chairs. So that's good. I note that Steve supports the idea, Don supports the idea, and Graham would be happy to be in that role as well.
Maria, yes. This is Amr. Can I ask a question, please?
Sorry, Amr. Please go ahead.
I was just wondering, I've never chaired the working group before, but my understanding was that the chair and vice chairs, as opposed to alternate chairs, typically do some offline work together. Perhaps maybe before meetings and sometimes with policy staff support. If we're going to have a chair and alternate chairs, would that be different? Would alternate chairs need to step in to fill in for the chair at times when they weren't perhaps as updated or in constant contact with the chair in preparation for calls and meetings? And I was just wondering how that would work. Thanks.
That's a very good question. So what I propose is purely a substitute, you know, a substituting a referee at a football match, effectively. But it is possible in some concepts of this idea that the alternate chairs would have to do a bit of preparation work or be sort of a sounding board, possibly, for the chair. So I really thought about it simply as a process question, but Amr raises the, what potentially could go into a balance question, really, is if there are two alternate chairs, will that be sufficient if the job is a more substantive one rather than just a refereeing one? Don, do you mind if I put you on the spot and ask you? I know this is an idea I've come up with myself, but how would you view the alternate chairs working? Would they be people you would talk to in between times, or simply someone you would delegate to chair a meeting in your absence?
Alternate chairs would have to be part of the process right along. What I think is good about the group we've got here is we've got a good variety of the different constituencies. So you would work very well in terms of just filling in when necessary, but also having everybody in the loop so that all the issues are considered. A lot of distractions here right now. Basically, I would view alternate chair the same as vice chair. We would work together. And I think that's particularly good given the specific makeup of the people who are interested in forming this leadership group.
Okay. So, all right. I'm just seeing some various comments coming up. Here's the deal. I mean, I think if we just view the alternate chair as simply being, a backstop chair, then I don't think there's a concern about balance. I think If we do, I'm getting the sense from Amr's question that there is. And now I'm also getting the sense that I am messing a little bit with well-trodden GNSO terminology. So, Marika, can I just ask you if you would just give us a little, if you wouldn't mind, a précis of what a vice chair is and how that is different from an alternate chair as I proposed it?
Yeah, this is Marika. And as I typed in the chat, that the concept of alternate chair actually doesn't exist in the GNSO working group guidelines. It does talk about vice chairs or co-chairs, but also indicates that it's really up to the working group to define how it wants to designate their leadership. So I think if you would decide to go for a term like alternate, I think it would be important to define what you mean by that, and if it's in no way different from how we've been using vice chairs or co-chairs, who indeed serve in a more leadership capacity together with the chair, you know, in a consulting basis, but also being able to step in when the chair is not available. I would suggest that you maybe stick with the term vice chair, as that is something that has been defined and has been used in other contexts. With alternate chair, I think we're trying some new ground, possibly.
Okay. So here's my sense of where we are. We kind of like the idea of having two alternates, but if they are going to be vice chairs who have a more formal leadership role, I think we probably need to go back to the issue of having more balance across the groups. I think that's sort of implicit in what Amr was saying, and we might need to nominate another alternate chair, another vice chair as well, so a group of three, effectively a triumvirate that would support the chair. What I don't want to do is make a decision where we think this is, my concept of the chairmanship as purely administrative is not something that stands the test of time, and that we need to have more of a triumvirate backing the chair up. How about this? Let me make the suggestion that we have a triumvirate and we have a spare spot for another person to be a vice chair on that triumvirate, and that we allow nominations for that to be held on the mailing list over the next couple of days. Would anyone have an objection to that?
Hi, this is Paul McGregor. I'm sorry, I'm on a mobile. I'm not able to raise my hand at the Adobe.
Okay, Paul, go ahead. After you, I have Tim Ruiz, and after Tim, I have Steve. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, thank you. But what's the rationale for having three vice chairs as opposed to two?
The rationale is to allow some basically representation on what is effectively a leadership group from the different major groupings in the working group. Does that answer your question, Paul?
I suppose that it does. I guess I'm, I don't, I guess, why, if we're going to do more than two, why three, why not five? You know what I mean? I understand that the more spots you have, the more there is potential for representation. But again, the purpose of the chair is, in my mind, mostly administrative. Everybody will have a chance to voice their stance and opinion on the team, I hope. So if we're looking for something that's going to be efficient, the more people are put into those sort of administrative spots, the less efficient it will be.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Tim Ruiz, please.
Yeah, I guess I had similar concerns. I mean, there's, if we're going to go back to, nominating to try to cover a broader spectrum of the group, and I mean, then we might as well just sit down and say, okay, here's who all the stakeholder groups are. We're going to get a vice chair from each stakeholder group. And I don't think that's very practical or efficient in the long run. I think, we went through this process where we had, nominations and expressions of interest, and we landed on these three very capable people from three different stakeholder groups. And I think they've all expressed, willingness to serve in a particular capacity, so that we'd have, a chair and two vice chairs. And I think at this point, we should just accept that instead of going back and making it more complicated. At least that's my thought. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Tim. I have Steve Metallitz next, please.
Yes, thank you. This is Steve. I can support what Tim said. This discussion is really what I was hoping to avoid with my suggestion that we just unite behind Don as the chair. I think a triumvirate or a chair plus a triumvirate just could get unwieldy. I'll tell you, my conception of this, whether the role that I've volunteered for is called vice chair or alternate chair, is that Don is the chair. If he needs help or wants to get feedback, I'm ready, willing, and able to provide that. If he's unable to chair a meeting and wants me to chair it or he wants Graham to chair it, I'm happy to do my bit. I just don't want us to get to a position where even administrative decisions have to get negotiated among all the interest groups, and that just makes the process inefficient. So again, I'm happy to serve under whatever label the staff is comfortable with, but I do think we should have one chair who's got support from across the entire spectrum. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. One ring to rule them all. Indeed. Next up, Amr, please.
Hi, this is Amr. I just wanted to note that I supported the idea of a triumvirate in the chat, but I misunderstood what was meant by that. I agree with Steve and Tim. I don't really see the need for three vice chairs. I think Donna's chair, supported by Steve and Graham, should do the job quite well. And by the last stakeholder group, we're referring to the non-commercial stakeholder group. To be honest, I'm not sure there's anyone in the NCSG who is willing to step up right now to serve as vice chair. So I guess this whole discussion might not be so relevant unless someone offers or volunteers, and so far we don't really have any. Thanks.
That's great. Okay, I think we're getting towards a conclusion here. Michele, you're up next. Michele, I think you may be on mute. Okay, while we're waiting to see if Michele, I'm going to call on Volker, please.
Hi, everyone. I originally also thought that it would be a good idea to have one common chair instead of one chair for each interest group. And I still think that is a very good idea, a chair that everybody can unite behind. I do think, however, that we have a very, very contentious working group potentially ahead of us, with a lot of work ahead of us. So it might be a bit much for one chair, and it might be helpful to have backups or people that the chair can delegate certain functions to, just to ensure a smooth flow of the working group. That's what I just wanted to throw out there.
Super. Thank you. Thank you, Volker. All right. Well, I think what I'm hearing it really is that this idea of needing a third person to be a vice chair is unnecessary and inefficient. And I'm beginning to think myself, really, it's also up to the incoming chair to decide how he wishes to use his vice chairs as well, and in keeping with the GNSO, the guidelines for how we do this sort of thing. So thank you all very much for bearing with me during that discussion. I am going to propose that this working group agrees, I think by consensus, to propose that Don Blumenthal be the chair of this group, and that he be assisted as vice chairs by Graham Bunton and by Steve Metallitz. Can anyone put up their hand to speak or type into the Adobe if they have an objection to that approach? Steve Metallitz, I see your hand is still up. Do you have something to add?
No, I'm sorry. That my hand should have been down. Sorry. I support your proposal.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, well, look, it looks at seeing, I'm not seeing any objections, so I think we've probably achieved the first of what I hope will be many consensuses of this working group, which is to appoint Don Blumenthal as our chair and Graham Bunton and Steve Metallitz as our vice chairs. So thank you to all of you three very, very much for offering to to do so much work and help us get this working group where it needs to be. And I think that's all we need in terms of a formal decision-making process. As the liaison to the GNSO Council, I will need to formally let them know, and they will, I certainly hope, formally agree that Don will be the chair, that we'll have two vice chairs. That being the case, I think all there is for me to do is to congratulate and hand over the chairmanship of this working group to him, and basically let him know that, Don, we have two items to go, which is review the draft mind map, and Marika was going to give us a quick presentation on that, and then do some brainstorming, and then confirm the next steps and meeting. So thank you all very much, and over to Don.
Thanks. I was a little bit hoping this was going to be kind of like American elections, where they appoint somebody and he doesn't have to do any work for 3 months. But nope. I appreciate it. And just what I think is probably best is to move forward and take a look at the mind map that Marika prepared. These are very... Any of you who have been in a Mikey O'Connor-led project knows these well. And I can't say I'll use them as much as he does, but they're excellent planning tools. If you want to work with them on your own, they're prepared with freeware. We can send that link out. But at this point, I think it's probably best for me to stand back and ask Marika to talk about the mind map and how it came about.
Thanks, Don. Yes, so this is Marika, and yes, you know, credit where credit is due. It's Mikey O'Connor who's actually brought the mind map concept to GNSO working groups, and at least from my experience today, they have been very useful in capturing at the start of a process the different ideas and suggestions in one place, and allowing as well easy grouping or changing around as conversations go. And from that, it has proven as well very useful to actually extract from that the work plan, because the mind map basically identifies what are the different elements that the working group needs to tackle or needs to achieve in order to come to the charter questions. So from that, it's the next step would be to derive a work plan. And then at the end of the process, working groups often go back to their mind map and say, okay, did we actually do everything we set out or we said we were going to do? So it proves as well a way of checking our work as it was set out at the start and looking back and making sure that all the bases were covered. So what I tried to do in this initial draft, and you'll see it up in the screen here, and if it's difficult to see, you may use the full screen option or just open a copy of the file on your own desktop. It was circulated earlier, I think late last week, and it's also posted on the wiki. But what I basically tried to do here as a starting point is group together the relevant information, first of all, about the working group and the basic requirements. So there's one place where people can find the information and about the effort itself under the project information. Then the first category here I titled basic requirements. So basically looking at, you know, what are some of the basic things that need to happen before the working group even can start thinking about the charter questions. So what I've noted there for now is the review of the background documents. Those are all posted on the wiki, and I know we have quite a few new members joining this working group, so I would really like to encourage everyone to have a look at those materials and make sure you're familiar with those, as they will be an important guide to these discussions. A basic requirement for the working group will be to develop a work plan. It was also suggested on the last call, and I've already tried to capture that here, that as a starting point, the working group may need to look at definitions or working definitions of the main terms to make sure everyone's starting from the same page. Outreach at an early stage to other ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees is a requirement under the PDP rules, as well as requests for GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies for input. So those are some of the starting elements there. And then you'll also see below that the charter questions. So basically what I've done for now is just listed all the charter questions in this chart. And the idea would be that the group looks at these and maybe checks, you know, are there any groupings that can be done? What are some specific pieces of information that would need to be gathered or collected in order to be able to address these questions? So what I've done as well in the mind map for each of these sections, actually try to identify possibly some guiding questions that you may use in this conversation. So for the basic requirements, some of the things you may want to think about is, you know, what additional information should be gathered or reviewed at the outset of the process. Should there be any additional information on current practices, for example? And one thing we've noted here, and then it's a conversation we'll also have with our colleagues that are supporting the EWG, is that the EWG is actually already planning to do a survey on the existing practices of current providers of privacy and proxy services, looking at relay, reveal, unmask procedures, and conditions applicable to them. And if there are any specific questions, the working group things would be helpful to include in that survey. We could work with our colleagues to make that happen. Or if working group members believe that should be a separate effort or a survey we would conduct, for example, amongst our members here, it's something we will also be able to do. And again, this is just a starting point. There may be other questions you think we should be asking when we look at basic requirements. And then in relation to the charter questions, you know, some of the questions you may want to ask as part of this brainstorm is, what information is required in order to be able to answer these charter questions? And that may be as a grouping and maybe for separate items. Would it be helpful to group certain questions into clusters? Are there certain ones that, you know, obviously belong together or cannot be answered separately? Or is there a certain order in which they need to be answered? Are certain questions, do they need to be answered first before you can actually decide a response to the other questions? One of the suggestions we put here is, would it be possibly helpful to conduct a survey amongst the working group members on each of these charter questions so we actually would get an idea of where working group members stand, and it may also help identify which are those questions where there's actual agreement or a relatively common position on what the response should be, and which are maybe those questions where, you know, we're very far apart, and obviously those are questions that may need more time or more dedication. And again, it may be the question, you know, which ones do you do first? Do you first go for the easier ones or the more difficult ones? And then, of course, the question eventually, I think, once you've gathered some of this information as well, is how does the working group want to tackle these? Is it something the working group will do as a whole, working through all these items? With sub-teams, is that a way of dividing up some of the work? But I think that's, you know, probably a question that we'll get to at the end of the brainstorm, when it's probably more clear of how people believe, you know, what information needs to be gathered and how these questions can be tackled. And hopefully from there it will become easier to determine what will be the appropriate next steps or the best steps to take in order to get to the end point in responding to these questions. So that's a little bit what's behind the mind map. And, you know, the idea would be, you know, as you talk today and maybe the next meeting and the meeting thereafter, I don't know how much time we'll need, I'll try to capture, you know, your comments and your feedback, and I will try to capture it in the mind map and then, you know, push out updated versions of those. And, of course, in between calls, you know, feel free as well to provide any feedback or suggestions on the mailing list as well. And hopefully that can serve as a kind of repository of our thoughts. And as I said, eventually hopefully we'll be able to extract from that a work plan that then the working group can, you know, work from and update over time. So I think that's in a snapshot what you have in front of you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Just maybe one last note. I think Don mentioned the freeware, but I have our FreeMind, which is, I think, the one that Mike used. This is actually another one. It's a proprietary one that does give you nicer color, so that's why I've used this one. But I think there's a way as well to export it to the other format if people would like to use it themselves or play around with it.
Thanks, Marika. I was kind of curious where the colors had come from because I didn't remember it from FreeMind. What's the name of this program?
I think it's MindJet.
Okay.
Gives you nice little icons and colors, and it's I think it's a bit more fancy, but you know, you pay for it as well.
Right. Okay. Nice. Is there any thoughts on? I see some things going on in the chat here. Any thoughts to add here?
Don, it's Michele. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, we got you now.
I
saw the queue here, but yeah. Oh, and you're first. Go ahead, sure.
Yes, that's why I'm speaking. Before I drop off, I have to drop off the call in a second. Just as this made reference to the EWG, just to remind other people in the group that both myself and Carlton and Stephanie are on the EWG. And related to that, it's not the actual EWG itself that will be doing any surveys. It's ICANN support staff, I think, will be conducting them on behalf of the EWG, though somebody from staff might wish to correct me or strangle me. Thanks.
Any hostile reactions? Okay, I guess you're safe, Michele. Thanks for that clarification. I'm just going to add that in addition to the EWG, while it's not going to be determinative, the Thick Who Is PDP group looked at some of the issues that are going to be important in our work. So there's a few sources to take a look at as we're going along. Amr?
Thanks, Don. Just Amr. I was just going to mention, I'm not sure if Marika mentioned this or not, and apologize if I'm repeating what she said, but just in terms of one of the things that a mind map at this stage might be useful, because there was mention that we might work in sub-teams later on. So sometimes when we have so many questions we need to answer using in a charter for a working group, we can take a look at these in the mind map and perhaps see if we can group any of these questions together and get sub-teams to start working on them. It's just a certain approach which mind maps have proven useful in the past, and I thought this was worth mentioning right now. Thanks.
Definitely. I appreciate it. Steve?
Yes, thanks. This is Steve. First, thanks to Marika for preparing this and putting some of this in context. I agree that that this research that the EWG called for is obviously extremely relevant to our work, and it might be helpful to have, if the staff can either just send around how they plan to approach it and what their timetable is and so forth, or if they could present briefly on that in our next meeting, that would be very helpful. I'd just like to comment also on the idea of a survey of participants. I think that could be useful in terms of not so much in terms of resolving issues, but identifying which ones are fairly non-controversial among our members and which ones aren't. But I think there's another survey that would be useful, or at least input from some of our members. Those members that are registrars and that operate privacy and proxy services can help answer some of these questions about current practices. And, of course, those that have signed onto the 2013 RAA now have an obligation to post some of this information about their practices and about their policies. Maybe it would be, just for convenience, it would be helpful if the registrars participating in this working group could forward that information to the staff, who could then compile it, and that would be at least part of our baseline of what's the status quo, and potentially a source for best practices and for standards that we might ultimately recommend. So I think a survey of all the members on the issues might make sense, but definitely a survey or a questionnaire or a request to the registrar members to provide this information could be extremely helpful. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I think the registrar members of this group are going to find themselves on the spot, whether formally or informally, more than once as we go along. So why don't we go to a registrar person. James?
Hi, Steve. Thanks, James, for the transcript. And I just wanted to lend my support for the idea that we start to categorize some of these charter questions. Right now, they kind of read like a letter to Santa. They're all over the map, and I think that there's some common elements that can be teased out that we can start to group them into categories. And as far as, registrars disclosing their existing practices, I think that at least in the case of our affiliated privacy service, those are publicly available. So I think we probably would be happy to share some of those materials that are currently, I think, available, and of course would, you know, be happy to share what we can to inform the working group going forward. I just wanted to maybe put another idea out there with regard to the survey. I wonder if it's helpful, or if it's survey or poll or whatever we're going to call it, the questionnaire. I wonder if it's helpful if we have folks work on this in groups. You know, as we've identified, there are some basic interests here. I think I would be curious, for example, to understand the overlap or the divergence between, just as an example, registries and registrars, you know, and on how they might respond differently to some of these questions, because I'm not entirely clear on that. So anyway, just my thoughts on those questions there. And like Michele, I have a hard stop at the top of the hour. Thanks.
Thanks, James. I think we will, one of the first things we'll have to do is start looking at these questions and then taking a look at backgrounds and figuring out how to reach out to all different groups to see how they fit in, whether it's for the questionnaire or just our more general approach to the work. We are getting up to about 5 minutes up, so I wanted to see if there's any other comments before we get to the last item of the agenda. Okay. Well, I think we've talked a little bit about what the next steps are, at least in the short run, is to look at these, try to do some grouping, try to figure out how we're going to address them in general, and then more specifically see if we do want to break into subgroups, see how those might be organized, and proceed. The one thing I notice here is next meeting. I know there was some discussion last week about trying to do some alternating. Is that still on the table? Mary?
Thanks, Don. This is Mary. I think we had considered that maybe that's something that we can do with the start of the new year, given the few meetings at the time last week that were left between now and the end of the year. So staff is working on the premise that at least up to the last meeting in December, that it would still be at this time and on a Tuesday. But certainly we can look at other options going forward.
Okay. Given that the meeting after next will be Christmas Eve, I get a feeling that maybe the next one will be the last one for this year.
Exactly.
Never mind, Marika?
This is Rick. Just to know, because we did look after the last call at the makeup of the group. I have to know that we had quite a few members joining, so of course we haven't factored them in. But based on that, I think we found that only two members are currently based in Australia, and it's Holly and David Cake. All the other members seem to be grouped around a European U.S. time zone slot. So that may be something that the working group wants to, you know, consider as we move into the new year, how we can accommodate some of those that are located in different time zones. And one thing, and you know, this may be something to discuss with David and Holly, whether, for example, just moving it up 1 hour earlier, if that would already really help them, or whether that doesn't make too much of a difference for them, but maybe it will soften their pain a little bit while it still is works for others as well. But maybe, again, it's something to consider as we move into the new year. And maybe if David and Holly have some suggestions on how we can make that work, it would be helpful, I think, as well. It's not too painful for them all the time.
Right, appreciate it. Well, I see David's on the call. We're right at the end, but if you could let us know, I'd really, really appreciate it. Holly maybe too, but my list doesn't scroll down that far. Oh, yes, there she is.
Yeah.
Any event, we're wrapping up at 11, right about 11 here. I generally will try to do hard stops. I think right now it makes sense just because I need to get myself a little bit up to speed. Thinking about being in the spot and actually getting it kind of changes perspectives a little bit. So why don't we just figure we will meet next week, same time, and in the meantime, we'll talk to Marika and Mary and get Steve and Graham and me on the phone and figure out how we're going to go forward.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks, Don. Thanks, everyone.
All right.
Bye.
Cool.
Thanks, Maria and Don.